Good morning. I believe many of you took some time to remember this great nation. I believe some of us would have also prayed and also asked for God's blessings upon this wonderful nation. Remember, my wife and I, we were in the U.S. many years ago. We came to Canada. We drove from Dayton, Ohio. It's almost like an eight-hour drive. And the first place we saw, or the first thing that we saw, was the Niagara Falls. We were really fascinated, you know. And when I was looking at that, I really marveled this beautiful land. And God had been so wonderful, right? Before we look at God's Word, I thought it would be good for us to pray for this great nation. I think, as Michael have mentioned, I think God has blessed this land. It's a great land for opportunities. It's a land where many have found this as their home, right? Many parts of the world, people arrive and they see this as their home. You know, I believe I'm speaking to Canadians here, right? Am I? Yes, yeah. You must be proud to say you're Canadian, right? I'm speaking to Canadians, and you know the history of Canada pretty well. And, you know, I've been trying to read something about Canada. And I realize, I know, more than 150 years ago, particularly the founding fathers, when they were putting things together, if you look at the coat of arms, it's very interesting. There are Latin words, and these Latin words actually make reference to a scripture, because that was the aspiration of the founding fathers for that great nation. But over time, as you realize, it was at that point of time, Canada was known as a Christian nation. But slowly, like many nations, I think it has drifted away. Today, Christianity is seen as a minority group, and not only in this part of the world, but in many parts of the world. So we have a responsibility as a church, right? We have a responsibility to bring back the gospel. In other words, share the good news of the gospel to people who have not actually embraced the Christian love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a responsibility to fulfill the dreams of the forefathers. And I believe that's also the dreams of each and every one of us. Let's take a moment to pause for a while and thank God for this great nation. Thank God for that we are able to live in a land of freedom, that we can exercise our faith, we can worship God, we can do things that whatever we want, or even, you know, achieve our dreams here. And so let's pray. Let's take a moment to ask God to bless this wonderful and great nation. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you. Because when you call upon you, you're a God who answers our prayers. Lord, as a church, we want to come to you, God, just praying for this great nation. We thank you, Lord, that many of us are born here. We grew up here. We got our education here, Father. And even our lives started here. We thank you, Lord, for a few who are from different parts of the world have come to live in this particular place. We pray, God, that you will hear our prayers even today, Father, for this great nation. You know the dreams, you know the plans, or even the aspiration of the founding fathers. Lord, we pray that many in this part of the world, on this great nation of God, will embrace this great God, who is your creator of the entire world. And so, Lord, we thank you for the churches that you have given to this land. The many churches of God in every provinces, Father, just standing, preaching your word. Lord, we pray that you will continue to be the salt and the light, Father, wherever we are. We pray for our political authorities. We pray, Lord, that you will be with them. We pray for our cities, our provinces. Lord, we pray that that each and every person of God will be caring for one another. Lord, that we will not only be strong economically, Father, that we will be always having a heart to help other nations who are in need. We pray, God, that you bless. Bless this great nation of God, and bless our lives too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I thought it would be good for us to, you know, focus on this theme. And if you realize, we have been looking on the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, because it's a wonderful book. King Solomon wrote because he saw there was a need for people to have God's wisdom to live in the world. King Solomon was not an ordinary person, as all of us know. He was a great king. But then he looked at life and he said, you know, everything is meaningless. Everything meaningless. You know, a king should always be happy because of the many things that he has, or even the many perks that he enjoys. But he looks at life and he says, this is meaningless. And so he is giving advice to people like us, and even to the subjects of those days, to have a meaningful life. And to have that meaningful life, he says, you know, God has to be the center of our life. So we have been looking on this series called Life Under the Sun, right? Ecclesiastes, you will see this particular phrase called Life Under the Sun, S-U-N. But I thought it would be good for us that our life should always be under the sun, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, since it's Canada Day, or even Canada Day long weekend, I thought it would be good for us, you know, to focus on this theme called the believer as a citizen. You know, many of us are citizens here, and what is our responsibilities? There are moments we are happy, you know, in this part of the world because we have freedom. We can achieve our dreams. We can do what we want, right? We can exercise our rights, and we can voice out our opinions, our objections, and all that. At the same time, I believe there are sometimes frustrations too. Right? We are frustrated because not only in this part of the world we see racism or even systemic racism that prevails. Right? I was reading an article by the Global News. They say there was a study that was done in the year 2000, this last year, and they surveyed. They realized 54% of Canadians say that they believe racism is built into the Canadian, even in the economic system of this nation. The government bodies and even the educational system. There is racism there. You can't avoid it, let me tell you, right? We are trying our best. Many nations are trying our best. And like many, you know, I would say first world nations or even a postmodern society, what is happening? The love of God is becoming cold, right? And we see people questioning isms, questioning Christian ideologies and all that. But as I think is Christian, I think what is happening here, King Solomon is advising us. Because in his days too, there were a lot of ideologism and a lot of isms that was floating around. So there was a lot of challenges the people had. So he, as a king, he realized that people can be drifted away from their faith in God. And so he says, there are things that you need to be aware of. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, we see there are certain situations that each and every one of us face in our life, right? You will say, yes, I have a situation, but if you group them all together, you'll tend to see there are three different kinds of circumstances or even situations that each and every one of us face. And so Solomon as a king, as a wise man, let me tell you, there were many nations who came to seek his advice because he was not only powerful, he was not only wealthy or prosperous, he was very knowledgeable because God gave him that wisdom and people came. And so this man is saying that in our lives, right, we will have circumstances. And how do we face circumstances? I believe the words of Solomon is also real to us today. The first thing, you know, he's saying in verse chapter 1, he says, who is like the wise who knows the explanation of things? Right, a person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. In other words, he is speaking about wise living. He says the importance of having wisdom. Knowledge is good, which we acquire, right, through our education. and through our experiences. But he's not talking about knowledge, which can help us to a certain extent, but he's talking about wisdom, you know, where we will be able to distinguish what is right and wrong. We are able to see things from the lens of God, and we are not only able to see the todays, but we are able to see the future, the tomorrows, and we are prepared for the tomorrows. That's what Solomon speaks about when he speaks about wisdom. And so he says, who's like the wise man who knows the explanation of things? So he says, it's important for us to be wise, to be having that wisdom, God's given wisdom, because a person's wisdom, which is given by God, he brightens their face. In other words, in whatever circumstances they are in, they know what is their future. They know what is going to happen in their life. They know that they are in the safe hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And so that is what he's trying to say. Three circumstances I would like to share before we come together as a church family to take the communion. And firstly, he says, live wisely under authority. Live wisely under authority. Right? You see someone saluting, because I was also in the army, so it's the importance of, you know, coming under an authority. You know, I think when you say authority, many of us don't like that word, right? I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand, right? But whether you like it or not, all of us are in some kind of authority, right? When government has policies, you know, we have to abide to the authorities. You know, when you are at your school place, your school authorities are there, your principals are there, your teachers are there, right? They exercise some kind of authorities. In your workplace, whether you like it or not, you can be hired, you can be also be fired, because there is an authority over you. We don't want to be under authority. That's the society that we are living in. I was reading a magazine, right, Time magazine. It's very interesting. You know, they were talking about baby boomers. They were talking about the industrial revolution. You know, it's interesting. They say the present generation is such that they are not creating another organization, but they just want to be on their own. You know, when you look at social revolution and industrial revolution, what was happening? Because they felt the future is, it's important to have that kind of establishment. But today's generation is totally different. They're not establishing something new. That's what the Time magazine says. They just want to be on their own without any establishment, without, you know, answering to any authorities. And I think that's what the time that we are in. Dear friends, whether we like it or not, we come under authority. Not only God is our authority, but we come authority. That's why, you know, we have, you know, the cops, right? When we see the cops, what do? Do you speed or did you reduce your speed? Immediately put you on your brakes, right? And you want to be a good citizen so that you don't get some kind of ticket. And so there is always that kind of fear in us. So Solomon is saying, whether you like it or not, you come under authority. Authority comes in different forms and different ways. And so if you challenge the authority, you're going to have a difficult time, he says. Right. First thing he says in this particular chapter, he says, obey the king's command. In other words, he says, be respectful. Obey the king's command. Right? What is happening here? He says, obey the king's command. In the context that Solomon was writing, those who worked in the palace had to take some kind of oath, right? Saying that, you know, they will be faithful to the king. I do not know how the educational system works in this part of the world, particularly in Canada, but in Singapore, the nation that we come from, or at least my family come from, every day in school, our kids, right, they will sing the national anthem every day without fail. And then we also do our pledge, and we say, no, we the citizen of Singapore pledge ourselves as one united people, and so on. It's every day, right? And we say, and this is who we are. It defines us, my friend. And so that was what was happening in the time of Solomon. So Solomon says, be respectful to those who are over you, right? So in other words, we need to be respectful not only to the government authorities, but people who are above us. Maybe we might not like them. Sometimes you tend to hear this word, you know, I work in a very toxic environment. Whether it might be toxic or a friendly environment, we need to respect the authorities. When you look at Scripture, particularly when you look at, you know, the government authorities, Scripture is full of references. Romans 13:1 talks about how we should submit to the rulers, right? And James 4:7 talks about, you know, that we need to be submitting. Hebrews 13:17, and there are numerous passages that says that we need to be obeying the king's command. So whether we like it or not, you know, that's part of the thing. We need to be saying, you know, sometimes we say, you know, what do I do, right? Yes, you need to obey. Secondly, you know, Solomon is also saying, not only you need to be respectful, but he says you need to be reliable. In other words, it's one thing to be a citizen of this nation, but it's another thing to be a loyal citizen of this nation. By the way, I must tell you, I'm speaking not because the political authorities asked me to speak like this. No, no, no. I think Scripture talks about that we need to be loyal, right? We need to be loyal people in the sight of God and also in the nations that we are in. You know, and so we need to be careful, because what he says in verse... Why do I need to be loyal? Because he says, do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. If I don't like it, then I'll just leave. That's the society that we are living in. But Solomon, being a wise man, says, do not immediately leave. In other words, be loyal, because if you do that, you're going to face your consequence. Right? Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. In other words, the king can do whatever he pleases. He can punish you. Right? A king's word is supreme. Who can say to him, what are you doing? In other words, he's saying, we need to be careful. We need to be doing things. You know, I'm not saying that you need to follow exactly what the government is trying to tell us, my friend. But we need to be careful that what he says, we need to be, doing the things that, you know, the government have been asked. We need to be loyal citizens of this nation, or even loyal citizens of the places that we are also working. So does it mean that I have to agree to all the policies of this government? No. Because when you look at Scripture, is any policies or any laws that go violates the commands of God, I think we need to be questioning, right? And I'll bring it up later as I speak on that particular topic. And so Solomon is saying, you know, we need to be reliable in the sight of the authorities. Thirdly, you know, he says we need to be prudent, right? Yes, we need to be loyal. We need to be prudent. In other words, he says, whoever obeys his commands will come up no harm. So when you obey, there is no harm, right? And Solomon is not saying that you need to say yes to everything. He is not saying in that manner, right? And the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. In other words, he says, there is a place to raise your opinions. There is a place for you to say, I don't agree, because it violates the Christian teachings. And so he says, you need to wait. So the wise person, the wise heart, will know the proper time and procedure. There is a time to raise such issues. There is a procedure for us to raise such issues. And in verse 6 also, he talks about, for there is a proper time and procedure for every matter. And so that's what he says. We need to be mindful. We need to be prudent. At the right time, we raise. Earlier, he says, what was he saying earlier? If you look at the verse very carefully, right? You need to be careful, because if not, the king can, harm you. But then you need to be wise. At the right time, you bring up. If you look at the example of Daniel, right? I think many of us have read Daniel. Daniel and his friends were in a pagan land. What was happening? King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, wanted these people to be groomed well. But Daniel and his friends, you know, they came from the Hebrew nation, and so they were worshiping the God, Yahweh, right? And so when the groom, and they were asked to eat a different kind of a diet, now Daniel could immediately say no. But then Daniel knew how. He brought it in the right manner. And he said, this is what we will do. And if we are not strong, we are not able, right, to fulfill the criteria that is needed to serve for the king, then I know we will look at it differently. But what is happening? Right? So there was a time for us to raise our unhappiness, but there is a proper way of raising. That's what King Solomon is trying to teach us. And so it's important for us, right? You know, whenever we raise our opinions, even in the church too, when you look at the verses very carefully, he talks about divisions and all that. In other words, he's saying that, you know, if you have an opinion, you're unhappy on certain things, you raise, but you don't form a group of people that will, you know, divide your organization. In other words, even in your unhappy in your workplaces, what do? You don't form a clique. What do? You go to your superior at the right time. Through a proper procedure, you express your opinion, your unhappiness. But sometimes it's easier, right? Because we want weight, we want strength, so we try to gather people around, and then that causes a lot of unhappiness. And then Solomon says, you need to be very prudent. Live under authority. Whether we like it or not, my friend, we will be living under authority. And then he says, be patient. Yes, we will do. At the same time, we need to be patient, he says, because in verse 7, he says, no one knows the future, right? And no one can tell what is to come. And he also, verse 8, he says, no one has power over the wind to contain. In other words, you can't contain the wind. You cannot tell to the wind, you know, you need to blow in this direction. You can't. No one knows the future. And then he also says, no one has the power over the time of their death. Right? No one knows. And no one is discharged in time of war. In other words, when a soldier in those days went to war, there's no way he can say, you know, someone in my home is sick, so I need to go back home. There's no way. Whether you give your life in the war, if there's victory, then you'll come back home safe. There's no retrieve. In other words, he says, you don't know all these things. You can't control these things. But then he says, you need to be patient in the sight of God. I think that is the Christian virtue, my friend. Patience, trusting God to work at His time. Because we live in a society and an age, we want things to be done fast. Yes, there are certain things that can happen immediately, but there are certain things, particularly when it comes to nation or even in authorities, you know, we need to be patient, exercising faith. That's what he says. Some of us will be going to work, or some of us, you know, will be starting our career. Whatever situations you might be in, you will come under some kind of authority, my friend. And so Solomon is giving us some, you know, wise instructions as to how we should deal. Secondly, this is another thing that each and every one of us will face, particularly if you're a minority in a country or even in an environment, even in your institution, in your workplaces, you might be a minority. And I've faced it many times, numerous times, right? Live wisely under injustice. That's what he's trying to tell us. Live wisely under injustice. Is this an unjust world? Hello? Yes, wow. It's an unjust world in many ways, right? I think, and when we look at the word very carefully, what are the first thing? Like many of us, Solomon ends by saying, this too is meaningless. In other words, Solomon is very frustrated when he looks at the injustice that is happening in this world. And he says, this is meaningless. I'm frustrated. Yes, it's okay to be frustrated. You know, when your workplace, someone gets promoted, but you are working hard because your skin color is different or you don't look like them. Your boss might be a Christian, my friend. It's okay to be frustrated. But you need to be very careful in the way, you know, you show your frustration. And so Solomon says, you will work under injustice wherever you are. Even you might be together with the majority in your company, but there will be injustice because there is favoritism in this world. Some people know how to, you know, go through their way to climb up the career ladder, my friend. There is injustice in this world. And Solomon says, all this I saw. Can you imagine? He has seen as a king all this, right? There is a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt. And so Solomon is very frustrated. He says, I've seen injustice in this world. You know why there's injustice in this world? It's because of sin. It's a fallen world, right? It's a world where we just sinned against God. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, let me tell you, some of us, you know, or some of you are big bosses here. Some of you are in high position. You know, there are, I believe, sometimes unintentionally, right? Or maybe sometimes intentionally. So Solomon says we need to be careful. How do we live? Injustice, right? And so he talks about the injustice that's happening in the world here. In verse 10, he says, you know, then too, I saw the wicked buried, those who used to come and go from the holy place and receive praise. In other words, you know, he is talking about people, they're wicked people, they're bad people. But what is happening? You know, they put up some kind of a show, and then, you know, they come and go, and they are recognized, they are praised by the world. But the sincere ones are not recognized at all. People put up a show. They get, you know, the support of the others. And that's what he says. And then if you look at the other verses, he says, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled. I think I'm not talking about the judicial system, but you know, because when there is some kind of influence or even political influence, right? A commoner is treated differently. I'm not talking about this nation. It happens everywhere, my friend. It's who you know and the kind of people you know that are in influence, right? And so Solomon as a king, he sees and he says, you know, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. Although the wicked who commits 100 crimes may live a long time. He says, you know, the wicked are living, but they are living long. They're happy. Life goes on. But then he also says, I know it will go better for those who fear God, who are reverent before Him. In other words, he's saying, you know, the wicked are looking at the righteous and saying, you know, where's your God? We are okay. We are becoming richer every day, even though we don't go to church, we don't worship God, right? We can do whatever we want. We are much more prosperous than you guys. And then we say, you know, I've been so faithful in my company. You know, I love my company. I've been so faithful, but, you know, I don't get the promotion that I deserve. And that's the kind of world that we live. But then he says, I know it will go better with those who fear God. In other words, he says, God knows, my friend, and God's justice will someday be revealed. That's what Solomon is trying to teach us. Because, you know, why God is so, so wonderful? Because He's also patient. And so He's saying, don't take God's patience for granted. Because that patience will be taken away, will no more be there. God's just will be seen. And so That's the world that we live in, right? We see people who don't love God, who don't fear God, much more prosperous, much more excited, much more filled with joy kind of a stuff. People who love God, you know, sometimes have difficulties in life or even have bring both ends meet, they have struggles. But God knows. This God, He knows what's happening in the world. It's going to be a continuous journey for each and every one of us, my friend. Lastly, let me finish by saying, in verse, I think many of you would like this word. He says, live wisely under the sun. In other words, he is saying, you know, three words he uses here. He says, I commend the enjoyment of life. He says, enjoy life. Wow. Enjoy. Because it's summertime, it's barbecue time. So he says, enjoy life. Right? Because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat, drink, and be glad. In other words, you have seen in this slogan everywhere, eat, drink, and be merry. Right? I think that's what, you know, when you look at the verse, that's what Solomon is trying to teach us. Eat, drink, and be glad, and be merry. You know, I was looking at the word very carefully, because I believe Solomon, being a wise man, had something different to teach us. You know, I was looking at the word eat, drink, and be merry, which is actually an Epicurean thinking. It was under the great philosopher Epicurus. You know, Epicurus, during his days, you know, as a philosopher, during that Stoic time, what was happening? They wanted to take away the fear of people, because it was a difficult time. So what they came with this motto, eat, drink, and be merry. And then he says, finally, you know, you will die. Because the Epicureans had this kind of belief. They thought that, you know, that God is not involved in our lives at all. In other words, there is no God. God is not concerned about your life, your enjoyment, your welfare. So the Epicureans, you know, wanted their society to be just be happy, do whatever you want. Whatever your heart pleases, whatever you think is right, just do it. Drink to your heart's content. And then the Epicureans also, they believed that, you know, death is nothing. In other words, you know, after you die, there's nothing. Every suffering is taken away. In other words, you're no more. Can you imagine? After death, you're no more. But when Solomon says, eat, drink, and marry, it's a different thing altogether. If you look at the context that he's speaking about, it's not about sinful pleasure. You know, because Solomon is saying, you know, I can just eat to my heart's content and have all kinds of illness. No, that's not the way he's trying to teach us, my friend. Right? He's teaching us, you know, enjoy the things that God has given to you. Enjoy the thing that God has given to you with God's help and guidance, my friend. Enjoy, you know, this, even the small things that God has given to you. Not forgetting to take care of your health, but taking care of your health, right? When he says about drinking, he's not saying, you know, every weekend go party. That's not what he's trying to teach. No. He's saying, you know, not getting drunk, but, you know, be happy. Merry means lighthearted. Enjoy what God has provided, my friend. Whatever God has provided, whatever blessings that God has given to us, I think we need to be enjoying, not forgetting God, but bringing God in all these things. Even in our vacation too, you know, it's wonderful time, you know, to spend time with families or going on vacation or even having a barbecue and just being grateful for what God has been doing. But the Epicureans was totally different. You do all these things minus God, because that's their motor of life. That's their definition of life. But Solomon saw it different. But God has to be involved in this. Let me close by saying, you know, some of you would say, you know, is it possible? Is it possible to get that kind of wisdom? Yes, you can get that kind of wisdom, my friend. Today, you and I can easily acquire knowledge through our education, through our experiences, right? Through readings or whatnot. You can have knowledge. You can have tons of knowledge, my friend. But knowledge does not mean it's wisdom. Right? Wisdom is something that God is only able to lead you and give you. And so, look at God's Word very carefully. And I want you to, you know, take time, go back home, read on this, dwell on this. When you start walking with God, right? Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom or knowledge. Knowledge here means wisdom. When you start loving God, when you start fearing God, when you're in tune with God, God guides you. He's the paraclete. In other words, he's the one who accompanies along with us. Secondly, James talks about it. Ask God for guidance. Seek him at everything. Even if you're going for a holiday, ask him. Even if you're trying to go to some kind of workplace interview, ask him for guidance. Seek him. Asking God. Thirdly, Proverbs, the same Solomon also says in Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice. In other words, seeking godly advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you'll be counted among the wise. Listen to advice and accept discipline. At the end, you will be counted among the wise people. Yes, my friend, all of us want to face this life, right, differently. In other words, as a Christian. And so Solomon is teaching us, you know, to acquire wisdom only from God. So may God help you, right, when you face the different situations in your life. Yes, we will continue to be under authority. We will continue to see injustice in this world, right? And it will also see life like the joys of life, but how we define it is important for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the words of this great man. We thank you, Lord, because your word is so relevant, God, in a time and age that we live. There are moments of God, we don't like authority. But Lord, we thank you because your word reminds us. Not only you are our ultimate authority, but we always, and we'll always come under some kind of authority. Lord, in whatever situations we might be in, help us, Lord, to respect, to be patient, to be prudent, and to be reliable, O God. Lord, we will continue to live in an injustice world because there's so much injustice in this world, in this fallen world, O God. Help us to know, Lord, that not only you are a just God, but you are a patient God. This injustice will someday end when you establish your kingdom, this world. Lord, help us, Lord, to live under the sun. Help us, Lord, to count the many blessings that you've given to us. Help us, Lord, in all our enjoyment to have Christ in the center. We thank you for families that you've given to us. We thank you for friends that you've given to us. We thank you for even the small blessings of God that you've given to us, O God. Because everything comes from you. Help us, Lord, to seek that wisdom from you because you're the author of wisdom, O God. We thank you once again for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.